we came back to England. We joined up again with Mike Finney, who was the keyboard player with Rupert and the Red Devils. We came up with the name The Excels. And we became quite a competent little band, and we got ourselves an agent, and he realised we were competent, and he started to put us with rock stars of the time, one being Christian St. Peters. He used to bring over Gene Vincent from America, and we used to back him. Very arrogant man, I seem to remember. Carried a gun and was always waving it around. God, they were different days, weren't they? We could just carry guns around. Nobody questioned it. Also, we worked with a soul review that featured Elkie Brooks at the time, Keith Powell, who was quite a well-known R&B singer on the circuit. Also, a four-piece black backing band, when I say backing vocal band, called The Marionettes, who later two of them went on to become Mac and Katie Kassoon. We were very successful, and we had a lot of work. And we travelled up and down the motorway like all the bands did, and we worked every day of the week, almost. Then I decided that, that's not what I wanted to do, just playing as a backing musician, so I started to scan the ads in the local papers, in the music press, and I found this ad saying guitar player wanted for R&B band. And it was in Tottenham, so I answered the ad, and it was a band called the Syndicats. And I went along, and it turned out I was replacing a guitar player called Steve Howe, who we all know who Steve Howe is now, a guitar player from Yes. So I played, I did my piece, they said, yeah, we really like this. And they said, in actual fact, we're right in the middle of making a single. Now, this was great for me, this was my first taste of making real big-time records. I mean, we'd done demos with Rupert and the Red Devils, and we'd actually made recordings, but nothing had ever actually been released. So I said, yeah, that sounds great. They said, we've already done the A-side, and Steve has played guitar, and that being Steve Howe. But we need something for the B-side. And I said, I write songs. And they said, yeah, so does our keyboard player. So I said, why don't I get together with Jeff, who was the keyboard player, and, you know, we'd toss a few ideas around and see what we come up with. Anyway, Jeff and I started to come up with a few ideas, and we came up with this song called Crawdaddy Simone. Why we picked Crawdaddy Simone is the cross between Nina Simone and the Crawdaddy Club, I guess. But it was a good little R&B song, and it became the B-side of On the Horizon, which was the, I think it was the last single that the Syndicats ever actually did. It's since become a classic. Crawdaddy Simone, a very sought-after record that fetches over £300 now. One of the reasons being that the Syndicats were an R&B band being produced by Joe Meek, who was ostensibly a pop producer, famous for John Layton hits, The Tornadoes, various other people from that ilk. And it became, and has become, as I said, a cult record. There have been many pirate versions of it. One springs to mind on an album that was released in America called Freak Beats. It's always been a very, very sought-after track. We'll be right back. Syndicate, game, the whole thing ran its course. We never had success, the record success that we wanted. Again, I got disillusioned with it. You know, I thought this was going to be my big entry into pop stardom. It wasn't to be. And out of the blue, one evening, I got a phone call from Peter Tesserow in Holland, who said to me that the band that he had, which I'd already mentioned, called The Shats, had now changed their name. And I said, oh, thank God for that, Peter, because as we said, Shat is the past tense of shit. It had been pointed out by an Australian customer in the restaurant one night where they were playing, but that was so. So I think Peter, when two people told him that, he realised that perhaps, you know, he was going to have international success. The Shats was not the best name. So they picked another obscure name called the T-Set, with nothing to do with tea. They picked a name that, from golf, in actual fact, because tea is the T-double-E of using a tee. It means to tee off, T-Set in Dutch, to set the actual tee in the ground and to go. So I said, oh yeah, that's the, you know, it's a very strange name, but it, like any name, it grows on you. I guess the Beatles was a strange name when you first heard it. He said, Jerry has been playing with us. That's Jerry Romaine, who we remember from the Riot Act, and when we played together at the Cecil restaurant in Holland, was leaving the band to join another famous band in Holland. Well, they weren't famous at the time, but they became famous, very, very famous, a band called The Motions. They were kind of a mod-type band, modelling themselves a little bit on the Small Faces, that kind of look and that kind of music. And Jerry wanted to join the band. So he was leaving T-Set. But Peter had said to me on the phone that they were having a lot of success, and, you know, at the time, that success, what did it mean to me? I wasn't there. I mean, he just said we were having records. But, of course, when I got there, finally, I suddenly realised what he was talking about. They'd had their first two singles were minor hits. They'd had an album out that sold 25,000, which was a lot of albums at the time, a lot of vinyl. They'd had another big hit called Don't You Leave, which was a reworking of a traditional blues tune. And they were embarking on a pop star career, of which I became part of. Suddenly I'd walked into this situation, albeit in another country, but into a very, very successful band. I joined the T-Set. It was great. I mean, we toured. We were writing songs together. We had another new keyboard player come into the band, a guy called Hans van Eyck, who I'd struck up a writing relationship with. I mean, Hans was a very, very talented songwriter. Anyway, we started to record. A new single was needed. So I came up with a few ideas, but in the end, they used another Hans van Eyck song. Again, it was successful. It was just a merry-go-round of touring, making records, touring, making records. The whole thing was incredibly successful. But again, like anything, success is there to be destroyed. And I guess the band itself destroyed it. We were all moving in different directions. The flower power thing was starting to happen. The bass player, myself and Hans van Eyck, decided that the T-Set was much more of a pop, middle-of-the-road band. And we wanted to do something a little more hard-edged. So we decided to leave. We announced to Peter that we were leaving. He was disappointed, but Peter, being the personality he is and still is, he said, okay, you guys want to leave? I'll carry on and get a new T-Set together. What name could we use? We had no record deal. We were going into the whole thing blind, really. We decided on a name after tea. How does that sound? I mean, when I think back, you know, we could have come up with something better than that. But we came up with After Tea. But this time we used the English spelling of it, after and T-E-A, meaning tea. But as it happened, it kind of caught on. You must remember at the time, now everybody speaks English in Holland. But at the time they didn't. It was, I couldn't believe some of when I heard Dutch people singing English at some of the ways that they'd actually interpreted some of the English songs. And I used to listen to the lyrics and think, no, that's not what he's singing. But, of course, if they're only performing to other Dutch people, no one's going to notice. Anyway, after T formed, we started to get a repertoire together. we started to play live, and because of our association with the tea set, it wasn't hard to draw audiences. A lot of people came to see us. A&R people started to come to see us from the record companies. Hans and I had started, as we had in the tea set, to look at writing together. We took it much more seriously now, and we'd actually formed a writing partnership. And we'd written this very, very catchy song called After Tea, because we thought it would look great in the charts if we had After Tea by After Tea. We used to play this song at gigs, and it used to go down well. And it was one of the songs that one afternoon we were playing in The Hague, and there were people there from Polygram, Phonogram at the time, they're called Polygram now, and said, yeah, we'd really like to sign you. So we found ourselves with a record deal. We went into the studio, we cut After Tea, we cut an album in 3 or 4 days, and they used to do it in those days. And After Tea was put out, and it became a big record, big hit record. It also became a big song. It was covered by the Rattles in Germany. It went to number one. Later in my career, when I joined the Spencer Davis Group, it was covered by the Spencer Davis Group. There were Swedish versions of it. There have been a lot of versions of After Tea. It's just a very catchy song. It still gets played on the radio all the time now. But the band was a flower power type band with flowers around us, and, you know, I guess we were all part of that let's go to San Francisco look and feel at the time. It's